You are listening to A Good Book on Sun Sounds of Arizona.
Kirin's The Spell of Noan, written and narrated by James D. Priest.
What do we do about the humans? Ruggum said they were living with them. How do we approach our friends in such bizarre surroundings? What might happen to us or to them? In his mind, he went over all the instruments of magic in his bag. In the end, gripping Ocelan more grimly, he was almost certain what he'd have to do, and it filled him with dread. "Sir, what about your Calamar?" came Hutt's innocent question. The magician was so absorbed in thought he didn't answer. He motioned for everyone to land, and they did in a grove of large oaks. They dismounted, and he approached Runagar intently. "If you contacted our friends through your voice, could you receive information from them, sense where they are, or be guided to them?" The Shillito looked puzzled. "I don't know. I'll try to contact them." He glanced at Deliani, then took a few steps away, where he closed his eyes and began concentrating. Clearing his mind, he chose words carefully, then sent a message through thought transmission. "This is for Ruggum Champter of the Yorl clan and Jilin of the Mogur clan. I am Runagar, a Shillito, a stranger to you, accompanying Spekeren and his party. If you hear me, contact us through any means you can." He stood for a long while, eyes closed, the others waiting expectantly. Finally, he glanced uncomfortably at Spekeren. "I sent a message and repeated it many times. Nothing came back. I don't know whether they heard me." Spekeren looked away. "We bring this Shillito because of an esteemed voice. His queen said he could do things I, a magician, couldn't begin to. I sincerely hope it works the next time we need it." Deliani went to Runagar, disappointed, not so much that he hadn't communicated, but because Spekeren and others might think less of him and his gift. "While I was recovering in the Farinan," she thought, "he told me everything about his sessions with Lanara to enhance his voice. I strongly believe in it. The time will come when it saves us." Spekeren spoke gravely to all. "There's another means of communicating. My Calamar, as Hutt suggested." "You must not use it," said Deliani. Something went terribly wrong during his first attempt, and she suspected what. "I must be by myself to think about it," he said, but said no more, which disturbed the others, who wanted to know what their course of action would be. He kept to himself throughout the evening, then a long night, alone in his tree hole, racking his brain for another method, sleeping not a wink. He had never told the others about his clash with the Granum. The loss of control of his mind, the very sharing of it with so noxious a creature, had been torture. The prospect of it happening again made him tremble, and his breathing was rapid and shallow throughout the chilly night. "I must remain calm," he told himself, "and control my emotions and reason. If there's no other way, I must do it, or we abandon Jilin and Ruggum. I've no intention of doing that, whatever the cost to me. We haven't encountered Agronom or Volodon for so long that perhaps we're out of their range." He roused the others early, and they gathered at the foot of a tree. The toe ring was inert. It would be of no help. The magician tried to control the tremor in his voice. "I've decided to use the Calamar." "There must be another way," said Deliani. "None," said Spekeren. "I've thought of everything." "I won't let you," she said. "We must locate our friends," he said. "I'll stay with you," she said. "You'll go with the others," he said. "All but Runagar recall my first try. I made contact, but it was interrupted. As you did on my previous attempt, board your Eilon and leave. I must not know where you go. All of you, be off." He thrust a finger toward the sky, beginning to brighten with the early light of day. "Do not return until the sun is high." Deliani suspected why he didn't want them there and couldn't know where they went. The others had no idea and didn't ask. All but Speckerin mounted their birds and flew off, Deliani in the lead, and he didn't observe them. "Evil creatures might home in on me," he thought, "but won't find my companions." He sat down on a log, reached into his pack, and with trembling fingers felt for the calamar. Pulling it out, he dropped the sack to the ground and wasted no time. "Tabe lan ve nor sulo," he said, gazing into the heart of the gleaming, opaque instrument. It began to warm, and he concentrated on Jilin. The opacity cleared, and vague masses and images flickered before him, none focused or recognizable. The succession of blurred pictures stopped, and a single outline was there. As the likeness sharpened, he was overjoyed. It was Loana, prowling along the bank of a stream, foraging for food. The wrappings binding her a brief time ago were gone. "Loana, I found you! Where is your master?" The startled bird stopped and peered into the semi-darkness of early day. "Speckerin?" came a voice. The magician knew it, of course. "Jilin, you can hear me. Are you using Tally's ring?" "This time my calamar, but I can't see you. Has anything changed?" "Nothing." "The calamar," thought Speckerin, "can't do what the ring did, penetrate the shroud of invisibility." "Is there a new member of your party?" asked Jilin. The magician paused. "Did his message get through?" "Yesterday afternoon, Ruggum and I heard it several times, loud and clear, but we had no means of replying." "Renegar's voice does work," thought Speckerin, "at least in one direction. I'll let him know." "For reasons I'll explain later, we must hurry, but I'm worried about something. You said you were with humans. Does that mean we, too, will be involved with them?" "We're prepared for many things, but hardly..." "No, a dangerous situation arose, and we were forced to leave them."
"Thank goodness for that, as long as we can find you."
"The toe ring's power is gone. You and I must make our calamars locate each other." Jilin took the calamar out of his belt satchel. It was warm. This communication was coming through it.
"I've used mine little in the past few years," said the magician.
"I have an idea," said Jilin. "My calamar has location-finding capabilities. I don't know about yours. I used mine in the forest when Hutt and I escaped Agronom on squirrels. The device told me where we were, the direction of Hutt's home tree, and exactly how far it was."
"How did it show that?"
"When asking my calamar to do something, Olaman said to speak in Ruvan. I asked where we were in relation to Hutt's tree. Lighted symbols appeared in the written characters we use when leaving a message, like the one you left for me at your campsite when I was lost. Throughout the quest, I've used the calamar to direct us toward our destination. It works similarly doing that."
"Interesting, but we haven't time.
I'll ask it your location now." Gazing into the calamar, Jilin spoke words in the ancient tongue. "Nothing happened," he said, disappointed. "Perhaps it was familiar with the home woods, and here is as lost as we are."
"I hope not. Let's try something else, but hurry."
"These instruments are from ancient magic and are all interrelated. Ask for the location of the magician Speckerin's calamar." The lad did. A series of symbols appeared in his warming device. "You are 987 clan dominions east of me."
"Wonderful. It's working. I assume Ruggum's with you."
"Yes.
The two of you remain exactly where you are. Now that I know your position, we'll come to you. When we're closer, I'll contact you to update our location. We must take no chances. Should both parties move, we might pass each other along the way. We'll leave around midday. I doubt we can cover the distance before nightfall, but we'll try."
The unmistakable image of Agronom supplanted Loana's as the beast homed in on Speckerin.
He flung the calamar to the ground, and contact was broken before the fiend could attack.
"What I dreaded most," he thought, "it happened again. The creature might now know where we are, so we must move quickly."
He glanced at the sky and in every direction. Though it was early morning, he hoped to see his companions returning. But so thoroughly had he impressed upon them to stay away, he was afraid they'd do just that. Nonetheless, to his satisfaction, they were soon flying toward him. Landing, they jumped off their eylon and ran to him.
"We had to find out what was happening," said Deliani. "I'm all right," he said, picking up the calamar. "I contacted Jilin and we depart immediately."
The others were delighted.
"We're 987 clan dominions east of them," said the magician. "We'll find them. We'll be leaving earlier than I thought. Perhaps we can get there before nightfall."
Not wanting to distress anyone, especially Tally, he didn't mention the Granum. They took off and headed west, flying late into the afternoon. Speckeren was reluctant indeed to use his calamar again, but had to know their position in relation to the others. Finally removing it from his pack as they flew, he asked in Ruvan for the location of Jilin's calamar. To his dismay, nothing appeared. No figures, no symbols.
"Does this device not have the same capabilities as Jilin's? Are my instructions to it faulty? Did the Granum have anything to do with this?"
"We must land," he called. "I can't determine their location. I must consider what to do next." They touched down and dismounted.
"They can't be far," he said, "but we must know exactly where they are. For the moment, we could all use some rest."
They were disappointed indeed. So close did their friends seem, and so eager were they to see them. The old magician sat down, his head in his hands. The others milled about, but eventually found places to rest. Finally, he took out the calamar and asked for the location of Jilin's. Again, no response. Agitated, he dropped the object into his bag and lay down on the ground, trying to relax. But their friend's apparent proximity gnawed at him, and soon he had the calamar out again and asked the same question. And to his surprise, this time he got an answer. As Jilin had described, symbols were alight and showing the distance and direction to the lad's calamar. But the readings were nothing like Speckeren had anticipated.
"Preposterous!" he cried. "How can they be 826 clan dominions away, almost as far as this morning, and now east of us, while we've been coursing west all day long?"
The others gazed at him with alarm.
"We've covered 800 or 900 clan dominions today. I fear something's woefully wrong with this calamar, or Jilin's, or both."
The others couldn't help him. Exhausted after a sleepless night and punishing journey today, the magician paced back and forth, talking to himself, trying to figure out what went wrong. "If these Calamar's estimates aren't accurate, we're in trouble. If they're correct, why are we so far apart?" He stopped.
"I must risk another communication. All of you, leave again, and this time don't stay away long."
They departed and left him with Ocalan and the calamar. He spoke the incantation, concentrated on Jilin, and for the second time that day, Luana's image was in the heart of the magical instrument.
"Jilin," he cried, "are you there?"
"What's going on?" asked the lad. "I just checked my calamar and it said you are 826 clan dominions west of us. I don't understand. I could get no readings while we were flying. But we just landed and the symbols are there."
"Jilin, lad, you've been flying?"
"We have indeed, as fast as we could. We tested Luana's wing yesterday. It seemed strong as ever, and today has been normal."
"Why didn't you heed my instructions?"
"What instructions?"
"To remain where you were."
"Our communication ended abruptly, but I received no such instructions."
"The Granum," thought the magician.
It interfered. My last words didn't get through.
We were so glad to learn you weren't far away, said Jilin. We decided to start in your direction, thinking we could locate you any time through the Calamar.
Now I understand what happened, said the magician.
After departing, I got no response from the Calamar in the air or on the ground. We didn't know where you were or whether you had started toward us, so we just kept going. Have you been flying west all day?
Indeed. We left shortly after our communication this morning.
We must have crossed paths.
Whatever occurred, it's too late to travel today, but at daybreak we depart. Let me repeat. We depart. You remain exactly where you are.
I just thought of something. Are you on the ground?
Yes.
If either of our Calamars is moving, the distance between us would constantly be changing. Under those conditions, the Calamars might not be able to establish the other's position. Perhaps both must be stationary, as they are now.
Bright lad, that might be the case.
Tomorrow we find out. And they must be accurate, because both show exactly the same distance between our locations.
We end this transmission now.
He dropped the warm instrument to the ground. Contact with Jilin was broken, and the Calamar's opacity returned.
No interference, interruption, or attack that time, thought the magician. Perhaps our luck is changing.
Deliani and the others returned, and Spekran told them what happened. One more night apart was the thought on everyone's mind in both parties as they tried to sleep. Early in the morning, Spekran's group departed for a third day of trying to find Rugum and Jilin and headed east. At mid-morning, they landed to see whether the Calamar would give a reading.
They're just over 600 clan dominions away, announced Spekran, and we're going in the right direction.
They maintained their pace throughout the day, and the next time they were 400 apart, then 200, and 100, and Jilin was right. When both Calamars were stationary, the readings appeared every time. The travelers became more optimistic with each leg of the journey, and late in the afternoon, the Calamar showed they were 40 clan dominions apart.
Three clan dominions to the southeast of them, declared Spekran at their next touchdown.
We could walk that distance, shouted Hutt.
Or run, said Spekran, but it will be faster and easier to fly.
I hope they have a signal for us, called Deliani once they were in the air. A thin trail of smoke came into view. Approaching it with great anticipation, they soared over a final ridge of maple trees and circled above a clearing. In the center was a fire tended by a Kirin all but Runagar recognized immediately. Two ravens were nearby, and the party sailed in for a landing, a startled Rugum Chamter jumping to his feet. Leaping off Osalam, Spekran ran to his old friend.
You simply couldn't stay home, could you?
Their right feet embraced.
I'm very happy, and all of us are grateful you couldn't. You've taken good care of Jilin. Where is the lad?
Here with Tali, called the invisible lad, who had run to her, helped her down, and embraced her.
We thought we'd never see each other again.
Holding him tightly, Tali spoke softly.
You said see. She pressed her cheek against his.
I can't see you, and I don't care. We're finally together, and that's what matters.
I have so much to tell, he said. As do I, she said.
He took out her shiny, golden disc, handed it to her, and spoke quietly.
It must be magical.
I rubbed it, hoping we'd meet again, and we have.
It's magical, she said, for us.
And Spekeren's heart sang.
Finally, he thought with unbridled joy, we're all together. Until Tali contacted Jilin 3 days ago, I never dreamed this could happen. After all we've been through, we're safe and sound at last.
Rugum stared up at the giant crane, standing tall after crouching to allow Runagar to dismount.
What a fascinating specimen that is, said the overseer, smiling, having never seen a bird like her.
Then he gazed at the auburn-haired Runagar standing beside her. Speckerin took Ruggum by the arm. "Let me introduce you," he said quietly, and they began strolling toward the Shillito. He came because of his uncommon voice, not his remarkable hair. "We hope, we think, the voice will be of benefit in times to come." They stopped before the young Shillito. "Runagar, meet my old friend and clansman, Ruggum Chamter." Their right feet touched.
"I'm not sure who should welcome whom," said the overseer. "I welcome you because you're new to the party, or you welcome me because I'm new to the party."
"I feel I know you," said Runagar with a smile. "Your friends have said so much about you." Gazing at him, Ruggum was intrigued by his hair and melodious voice.
"And I feel I know you, though I never heard of you before yesterday, when we received your message. We heard it in our minds, not with our ears, but in the same voice I hear now."
"Oh, Runagar," chuckled Speckerin. "In all the commotion, I forgot to tell you, your voice came through loud and clear. That portends well for its future use."
"I'm glad," said the Shillito, relieved.
"Both Jilin and I heard it," said Ruggum. "But with everything happening in the world today, we weren't sure what to make of it, whether it was a trap, a ruse, or genuine. But that mattered little because we had no means of answering."
The ravens sensed their master's joy and felt it themselves. The four of Speckerin's party happily greeted two old friends. But Luana and Alsanam couldn't take their eyes off the crane and were curious and dubious until Deliani assured them that the tall bird was a new, valued party member. For Jilin and Ruggum, this day of waiting had been a long one, and a painful reminder of the days they waited for Speckerin's party at the campsite after Jilin became lost.
"Food is plentiful here," Ruggum told Speckerin, "and to pass the time, Jilin and I gathered enough for everyone, hoping today's outcome would be different from our wait at the campsite. And it was."
"So you found the campsite," said Speckerin, "and my message for you."
"And departing there was difficult. Leaving your message was like leaving you."
The reunion, so far from home, was grand indeed. Ruggum's fire was stoked and blazed brightly, and all sat down in a circle around it, Runagar happily beside Deliani. As darkness fell around the small company, they ate and talked, eyes glimmering in the firelight, and became acquainted all over again. As though it were a gathering fire at home, the ravens arranged themselves in a ring around their masters. But Glynnivar, the crane, stayed in the background, surveying the occasion aloofly. Finally, Speckerin got to his feet and officially welcomed Ruggum into the party. The overseer stood up and spoke quietly.
"I felt this quest would be critical, and more experience would be needed than existed in the selected group. I chose to come and am honored to be among you. I hope my coming hasn't inconvenienced the clans at home."
They thought silently of the clans and the home trees and wondered what had transpired there.
"We must complete our mission," said Speckerin in a low voice. "Then we can go home. Now, I'll ask you each to share your experiences, and why not start with our youngest?"
He nodded toward Hutt. The lads stood up, and one by one they all did, firelight flickering on their faces. Jilin and Ruggum were fascinated at Hutt's telling of the barwood tree with its unique bark, sap, and elusive powers, felling him and saving Tali. Deliani told of her time in the Black Tunnels, her rescue by Griglas, and of that people's peculiar and tragic history. Runagar talked about the Shillitoes, their customs and magic, and the vast, illuminated cave in which he dwelled. Tali told of witnessing the demise and rekindling of her heiress, and her journey back from the ancestral fields.
"I was at death's door. Now, to be together again, all of us, and Jilin and I, it's a dream come true."
Ruggum asked Jilin to stand next to him. The invisible lad began with a thunderstorm in which he was lost. The elder told of their first encounter with humans when a young girl saw Jilin. They told of Loana's devastating assault, the friendship developing with a human family, and the harrowing escape from an unruly crowd. The listeners were awed and considered the friendship with human beings the most astounding thing happening to any of them. Spekeren spoke last, describing his thrills at their successes, his agony with their difficulties. "If we could be here or at home," he said, green eyes glistening, "the decision would be easy. But we have no such choice. We were chosen. Problems will arise as we progress toward our destiny, but there's not a group I'd rather do it with than you. There are no finer, braver, more faithful Kirins in the world." He looked into the eyes of each. "I'm proud to lead this flock and salute you, every one." It was late before anyone thought about retiring. They lingered by the fire and talked and celebrated well into the night. But finally the gathering of exhausted, grateful Kirins disbanded, and most found places to rest in nearby trees. The ravens positioned themselves in boughs above their masters to keep watch and wait, while Glynnivar stood alertly on the ground. Though they had much farther to go, and infinitely more to do, this party was finally at rest and, for the first time in 27 nights, together. "We're all healthy now," thought Spekeren, sequestered in a snug tree hole. "We're ready to set out on our mission again, and closer to accomplishing it than ever. We've come thousands of clan dominions over land. But I'll not think tonight about the great water, the ocean, and thousands of clan dominions crossing it. That we deal with in days to come. Tonight, I relax." Not everyone was resting. Tali and Jilin, the only ones with the knowledge, hadn't left the fire and sat gazing into it. He took her hand. "I wonder if we'll succeed," he said. She squeezed his hand. "Everything depends on it."
This has been Kirins, The Spell of Noan, written and narrated by James D. Priest. Book and audiobook recording, copyright 2008 by James D. Priest.
To learn more about Kirins, visit www.kirinbooks.com.
You have been listening to A Good Book on Sun Sounds of Arizona.